upset you now?
Recently, what's been doing my head in is when you go to a bar and you order at the bar, and then the person behind the bar says, "Oh, don't worry, we'll bring the drinks over to you." And I'm like, "No, I don't want that to happen. I want to collect the drinks and immediately take them back to my seat. I don't want to go back to my seat empty-handed and then have to fucking look over my shoulder for the next 10, 15 minutes while that person fannies around."
Absolutely.
That's a false economy, isn't it? They think they're making your life easier. They're actually making it more difficult.
It's so stressful. Like, just get me the drink, give it to me, like, pour the pint, bring it over. Because then what is this sort of middleman system? Do you not think, like, back in the day when I smoked, like, if you didn't have fags on you, that was fine. But if you had, like, fags and a lighter that didn't work, that was the... Ooh. You couldn't think of anything else. If you're in a pub where you've ordered your drink and you're sat back down and the person said, "Oh, I'll bring it," and then they never do it quick.
The real heroes in that scenario, you know when you ask someone for a lighter and they go, "Yeah, actually, I've got two. You can keep that one."
Oh my God, yes.
Legend.
Or if you've not got all the ingredients for, like... for rollies or whatever, and the guy's like, "Oh, I've got two packs of skins. You can stay there."
Yes.
Or they get a fist full of tobacco and just chuck it in your empty bag.
The only problem with that is usually that happens when you're pissed, and then the next time you wear the jacket that you were wearing on that night, you find a 3-month-old clump of tobacco in that pocket that is now dry as a bone.
Well, hang on, you're putting the tobacco in. I meant, Your tobacco bag is empty. You've got a bag.
Oh, I see. Just... Right. No. Wait, I'm talking about when someone gives you a fistful of back and goes, "Yeah, mate, have that." You go, "Oh, cheers,
And you're just putting that in your, like, you're just putting that in your Nike bomber.
Hey, a couple of things I'd like to pull you up on here. A, I don't give a shit. B, I have never had a Nike bomber.
You've never had a naff bomber. Do you remember the naff bomber?
I'm just after that. I'm like, I'm the era of the Gap hoodie and, like, cap. Do you remember the Kappa tracksuits?
Oh yeah. Poppers. What was the point in poppers?
They can get in the bin.
All right, mate, I'm not in the fucking Chippendales. I don't need to pull these off.
Umbro done a popper that went all the way up. So literally you were like an actual stripper. How quickly do you need to get ready for football? This is absolutely ridiculous. No, the best time to pop someone's poppers? When they are bowling, mate. If you get someone who's holding a bowling ball, the quickest way to get rid of the bowling ball is to take the shot. It would have been slower for him to, like, put it back on the fucking rack or whatever. So he's just in his pair of tighty whities, just banging out a spare.
You don't see that so much as a sort of grown man, do you? The whip down. You remember when someone would be out in jogging bottoms or that would have, you know, to pull it back to what you were talking about, have been a good time to do it. When someone's ordered 3 pints at the bar, they're wearing jogging bottoms, they turn around to go back to the table, down they come.
My problem with the jogger, though, is sometimes if you've got ready, you're going to the gym, you've done yourself up nice, you've got a nice boxer on that's holding everything in place, you think, "Oh, look, all right. Bit of bulge on display. I feel good about my day in a respectable way." If you're, like, hungover going to the shops, you look like a fucking sex offender. Like, it is ridiculous. There is no way to not look like a pervert in a pair of grey jogger bottoms with your little unwashed hungover willy just flopping about.
I can't stand it when you're at the bar and then they bring the drinks over, but they don't bring all of the drinks. They just put down a few of the drinks and then they don't tell you that they're going back to get another drink. So now you don't know whether they've misheard the round. It just goes back to what you're saying. Just give me the drinks.
There is a system that exists for a reason. People have been coming to the pub for, I don't know when the first pub was, let's just say the 18th century. They queue at the bar, they order their drinks, they take the drinks back to the table. You go, "We like to do things a little differently here." It's like, well, you're doing it wrong then, aren't you? Because that is the way that it works the best.
I think as well, it's that thing of, like, it's like they're trying to, it's like, I don't even mind if it's like a really fancy place and it's like, you know what I mean, you're out for a special occasion or something, but it's just like a normal boozer that they've decided they're a bit bougie now and they'll bring your drinks to you. I'm like, I'm not here on my anniversary, just I want a pint.
I'm here because I've just got divorced. Now fucking give me a pint and shut up.
But similarly, as well as like pubs that try and I'm in a hotel at the minute because I'm working out in Spain, and like the stuff people get wound up about in a hotel is unbelievable. Like the other day, we were at the hotel and there's like the guy sits down first day in the hotel, and a woman comes over to take his room number because obviously whether or not his breakfast is paid, and he's like, "Oh, why are you asking me this today?" I went, "Because you're in a hotel." Just give your, and also you're given your room number. Remember the room number you were told an hour ago. Say it out loud, and then go and get your free bacon. What is the problem with these people? And he was literally acting like they're going, "Oh, can you come and do some pots around the back?" Like he was, "Oh, I've got to give my number. I've got to do this every morning." Yeah, because there's 600 of us in this hotel.
However, I would say when it comes to hotels, the one thing, I think it should be a rule, like, you know, basically when they discovered asbestos was horrendously bad for you. So all building, it was the law, right? The same should be applied to hotels where the plug sockets aren't next to the
to
bed.
The bed, oh my God, yes.
Like, your hotel should be shut down until further notice, until they have sorted that out. It is fucking mental.
They should
mental.
Include that. In the, you know, when they have a hygiene rating, that should be included for the impact on people's mental health when that, yeah, that yes. like, go like, yeah, I didn't get ill from the food, but I am now so stressed from having to keep getting up in the middle of the night.
Literally, and also there's always like a plug point, like at the front, like the tiny little hallway at near the front of your door.
Yeah.
What am I doing with that?
Why is there a fucking desk at the Holiday Inn?
A desk?
Do you really think I've come here to do my paperwork? At the Holiday Inn in Bristol. What are you on about?
It's half the room as well, that desk.
I know! Why is there a sofa next to the bed? Who's coming around? Hey, everyone, come into my room. Have a little sit down. Let's just chat it out.
They also, in like a Holiday Inn, they also give you a sofa, and then the second you bring anyone else into your room, even during the day, phone call, "Hi, you know you're not allowed anyone else in that room." I have actually a few times thought, "Oh, the nice sofa. Do you know what? I'm going to sit in that sofa in the morning and just chill out." And that's when you realise I haven't in 15 years sat and done nothing ever. There is nothing lonelier than sitting on a sofa in a hotel without like your phone or like your telly. It's bananas where your head goes.
Sometimes when you walk, obviously the three of us spend a lot of time in hotels. Sometimes when you're walking down a corridor, there'll just be a chair. Under a staircase, you turn a corner, there's just a chair in the hotel corridor. You're like, who is sitting in this chair just randomly next to room 324? Imagine just walking down the corridor to check out and there's just someone in that chair reading a book. You're like, what the fuck are you doing?
How hard has that person gone at the breakfast buffet where they need to sit down on their way back to their room?
Or what about the table and chairs next to the lift? You ever seen those?
Yes.
How long is this lift going to take? I'm only on the third floor. The other thing that can absolutely get in the bin, and this is, again, I actually don't mind loud people. I don't mind them. If there are people,
would you say you're loud? Are you loud? You're loud.
I think I was.
Oh, you're not irritatingly loud, but you are loud.
Am I? I suppose my voice carries, actually. The thing I hate about myself is my voice has got that, I don't know if it's like the frequency or something, but yeah, it carries. You know I'm coming, which I hate about myself. I absolutely hate that about myself.
I'm not sure if you know I'm coming is the right sentence you want to be. You know I'm coming.
Oh, no, I'm weirdly quiet during that, actually.
Weirdly quiet.
Weird. Like a mouse. People are loud, whatever you have. It's people who are loud because they think the group they're with are so brilliant that everyone else needs to hear what they've got to say. It's basically like, and it's a bit pot kettle black, but it's basically, do you know like people who are in a pub who think we're basically doing a podcast here, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like everything I'm saying is so funny. And then these sort of people that act like you're old or a bit boring because you're not on board with them. And in fact, no, you're just really dull.
Well, the work you're saying at the pub, but I mean, at least the pub is an establishment that is there for socialising. The worst is like the commuter train.
Oh my God.
Like everyone, look at everyone's face.
And it's the people on the train as well that also they're really loud and then they go like, oh, Gary, come on, mate. Everyone's getting really annoyed with you now. But in that sort of like, not really, they're loving it, mate. On you go, carry on, Gary.
Well, that's because everyone thinks that their group of mates and where they come from is the best. Best and like the special, oh yeah, but you want to meet my mates. They're all, I mean, honestly. So when you go on a stag do, when you're not from that group of, do you know, like when it's sort of, you know them through a work thing, and then you meet their group of mates that you've heard all this legendary stuff about, like, oh, you wait till you meet so-and-so. And you turn up and go, these are literally the most fucking annoying people I have ever met in my life. Do you know what I mean? You just go like, oh, and that's worse. When someone goes, oh, I can't wait for you to meet so-and-so. You two are going to get on so well. And then you turn up and go, like, this guy is an absolute plump.
We've got a mate called Ian who's like he's got like a not annoying quiet voice. It's like quite calm demeanor. And we gave him the nickname G-Man because basically we would basically massively big him up before he came to like house parties and stuff. And then everyone would think this nutter was arriving.
And then this, that's so good.
And then this like father of two showed up just dead meek. People would be like, well, I've heard some stories about you, mate. And yeah, that's not. Also, another, I mean, it's all quite customer service to this, but just because I've been away a lot, people, and this is so, I don't know, maybe it's maybe people have said this before, but it's just happened to be so recently. And especially now with airports, and everything's so, the queues at airports now are insane. 2 hours I was in security, right? 2 hours. And the woman at the lady in front of me, as she gets to the grey tray, then opens her bag and starts removing bottles of water.
No. That is
2 hours.
You should be sent to the back of the queue.
Absolutely. Snakes
you
and
failed.
Ladders.
Sorry. That's it.
Back to the bottom. Start again.
I've got my toiletries in that inner plastic bag that I bring to the airport.
Look too keen. I take my belt off when I get out the Uber. I'm like, let's go.
I'm in the queue like I'm auditioning for the full Monty.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where the Kappa tracksuit bottoms really came into their own.
Boom, straight off. Oh my God. Wait. The people that not even don't get ready. Do you know the people that when they get to the grey tray, that's when they start to ask, hello, is any, where are your plastic bags?
Oh my God.
Half a mile back.
Yeah, and a tower next to a sign saying, don't bring a bomb or whatever.
And why do they ask you to, when you get through customs, you get to the other side of the airport, they've now got those four buttons, like the four different emoji smiley faces where they want you to review like the transaction, the thing that's just happened. It is not good.
But also, what are you reviewing? Because ultimately, the people that work in the airport are just, it's just a guy at a grey tray saying, take off your shoes, put your little bit in a bag. Like, it's the same thing. I'm reviewing the fucking idiots around me. So what do you...
Yeah, absolutely.
What that thing is basically, Heathrow are going, how much did people piss you off today? That's all that's asking.
I mean, that is a special kind of prick. The person in life who is not prepared for the next phase of whatever it is you're doing when there is a queue behind them.
Oh, my God.
People who get to the front of the queue at McDonald's, they start reading the menu. Like, the McDonald's menu's not been the same for 40 years.
Oh, my God.
100%. I was thinking of getting, like, maybe a double hamburger with some chips. And it's a fucking Big Mac meal, mate.
Just get it. Go. Just, you're going to eat it. You're going to feel sad. That's what's going to happen. Just get it. Get the thing.
I'm hating it.
No one in here is happy apart from the children. And they're about to learn that. And that's just inevitable, isn't it? That's going to turn out. It's mad. The people that aren't just a little bit, because I'm not the most organized man in the world, but like, get your card out before you get on a bus.
Oh my God.
Don't fish through your wallet when you're getting on the tube. Like, just be ready.
Don't, why do they put people at the cash point that put their money, the money comes out, and they wait there to put the money in the wallet before they leave.
My
Go,
God.
Do it on the way to where you're going. Get out of the way.
Move, bitch. Get out the way. Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
I just remembered this. I was at a cash machine a month ago, and the guy put his card in, and then went onto the notes of his iPhone where he'd written down his PIN number. Are you joking?
That is insane.
Oh, that was the brilliant Ian Sterling. Absolutely love that. Obviously, the voice of Love Island. So it's good to hear what gets his goat. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already subscribed to Patreon, please get on board. We do an exclusive hour-long episode of this each and every Monday. Patreon is a subscription service. If you enjoy what we're doing, it's a great way to support us. It works out to be the price of a fancy coffee a month. It's about £1 a week, and we put out an exclusive hour-long episode every Monday. You also get to hear about live shows. You get to listen to the guest episodes early, a day early. You'll get to hear those on Monday ad-free. Discount on merch, discount on live shows that we do. And, you know, if you're enjoying what we do, it'd be great to have you on board. You can go to patreon.com/WUIN and sign up now. I hope you enjoyed that episode with the fantastic Ian Sterling.